I'm a senior fellow here at Hudson Institute. I've been here for 5 or 6 years. My background is as a defense official in the United States government, with the Navy and with special operations. And for several years, I was department chair and a professor at the Marshall Center in Garmisch-Partenkirchen in Germany, which where our students were from military officers and some foreign service officers and parliamentarians from all the former Warsaw Pact states. This was in just after the Cold War ended. And we also had many NATO students and teachers, and I was very pleased to have several Turkish colleagues from the Turkish military who were bright, alert, intelligent, and their presence in the class was almost like having a second instructor because I didn't have anything to teach them. They already knew about democracy. I mean, there was a time, as you know, when there were Jews who were viziers, who were advisors to the Sultan. What NATO will do is very hard to say. The protests in Syria have turned into a virtual civil war. The low estimates are now that 30,000 innocent people have died. The United States, under the leadership of President Obama, has not taken action yet. And the Europeans have a smaller and smaller defense capability with which they can take action. And no one seems inclined to want to do the minimal that's necessary to prevent Syria from attacking its own people, which is, for example, to establish a no-fly zone. So it's an extremely sad situation. It's a terrible thing to see innocent people being slaughtered. And it's, you know, several years ago there were stories in the American press, unfortunate ones, about a bunch of people in an American city who had looked out the window and seen a woman assaulted on the street, and they did nothing. And that's sort of what the world is doing and what's happening in Syria. We're looking out our windows. We're seeing a horrible thing take place, innocent children and women and men dying, and we're just watching. One thing is clear, and that is that Mr. Obama believes that the United States, that if the United States takes a more backward seat in the world and is less prominent and less in a leadership role, that that will somehow serve the interests of peace and security and stability and will affect other nations and other people's attitude toward the United States in a positive way. I don't agree with that. Governor Romney does not agree with that. I think Governor Romney believes in the traditional view that was held by Democratic presidents for most of the 20th century, and that is that although the United States should not act by itself, that leadership is required in order to resolve some of the problems that we're seeing in the world, for example, Syria. So there's a big difference between the way Governor Romney sees the United States' role in the world and the way President Obama sees the United States' role in the world. And I think that I do not think, and American history demonstrates, that unilateral action by the United States is the exception. What is the rule is coalitions and alliances. We saw coalitions and alliances in World War I, in World War II, in the Korean War, in the Vietnam War, in both wars in Iraq. So the argument that some of Mr. Obama's supporters make, that the United States has acted unilaterally, is without basis in fact. The fact is that the United States has acted with coalitions, understands the importance of alliances, and believes that world action, or at least the action of democratically inclined nations, nations that believe in self-governance, is imperative if we're going to be successful in resolving situations such as what we're seeing in the Middle East. I have been hearing predictions that the Brotherhood would take over Egypt since I was a graduate student. So when it did, I wasn't surprised. I was only surprised that it had taken so long. The future is extremely problematic. Will citizens be allowed to have a voice? Will some kind of democracy take effect? Or will the Brotherhood run Egypt as a dictatorship the way many of its predecessors have? If that's what's going to happen, things are going to get bad. They're going to get worse. So it's hard to tell, but the future looks very problematic. And again, that goes back to what we were saying before, where models in the area, in the region, that offer the possibility of tolerance, of religious tolerance, of political tolerance, of journalistic tolerance, of self-governance, where citizens' votes count, are extremely important, much more important than models that come from Europe or from the United States. And that's a place where I think Turkey could have played a very large role. Generally speaking, if people observe the precepts of their religion, the world would be a better place. Okay? If you look back to Christianity as practiced by the Spanish during the Inquisition, I don't think that burning people because they had a different religion or they wouldn't convert to Christianity was something that Jesus had in mind. If he did, he never said so. I don't think that that torturing Native Americans, Indians, by the conquistadores who went to what was then northern Mexico was something that the New Testament sanctions or believes is a good thing. So if you're saying that the world would be a better place and the problems that we're seeing rising in the Middle East would be resolved if people would act according to the principles of their religion, I agree with you. It would be better for the world if it was not necessary for free countries to defend themselves. Unfortunately, there are threats to freedom and self-governance out there, and the choice is either defend yourself or else run the risk that those countries will harm you. It would be better if those threats didn't exist and we could concentrate on things like education and improving the lives of people who are very poor and helping them make it for themselves. I agree with that absolutely. Ultimately, the solution is going to have to come from the Iranian people. Iranians don't like this government. They also are not pleased to see the money that they pay in taxes used to finance violence in the Arab states. Their economy is in terrible shape. Their currency has lost a great deal of its value. They're boycotted in many places in the world. They don't like living under this. And their protests have shown it. There are things that other countries can do, but in the end, it's most likely that the Iranians will have to take the most important steps themselves. If the people of faith in this world lived by what was written in the book, in the Quran, in the Bible, in the New Testament, I think it's safe to say that it would be a happier world. I believe that rational discourse is extremely important, but in some cases it doesn't work, it's useless, and then you have a choice of either suffering the consequences of doing nothing or protecting yourself. Well, one of the things that unites great religions is the hope that it offers to the faithful. And a return of the Messiah in one form or another is a kind of hope. We would not be men if we did not have hope.